Welcome to Hearts to Believe. I'm Jim Barber. So good to have you join us for this Easter broadcast. We have a tremendous amount of special music and then a message from Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 8, which I entitle The Firstborn. But now, the quartet comes to sing He Lives, then Heidi Tave singing For God So Loved the World, the male quartet once again, And Can It Be? And finally, Tim Sturby to sing Redemption Draweth Nigh. Lord, bless this music and the spoken word to our hearts, and so work within us all that is pleasing in your sight through Jesus Christ we pray. In his name, amen.
I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way.
Thank you. Violence fills the land. Still some people doubt he'll ever come again. But the word of God is true. He'll redeem his chosen few. Oh, don't lose hope. Soon Christ Jesus will descend. Signs of the time are everywhere, and there's a brand new feeling in the air. Oh, keep your
Please take your Bibles, and I go to Revelation chapter 1 and verses 1 to 8. Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants, the things which must soon take place. And he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of the prophecy, and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion, forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I want to take you on this Easter Sunday, having read both out of the Gospel account and out of Paul's account in the Resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I take you now to the concluding book of the New Testament, the Revelation, which God gave to John the Apostle, John the Beloved, and it is Jesus Christ who is manifested in his risen glory and in the splendor of his power. We see him for who he truly is and the power as he addresses himself to John. Now, there are many things in the book of Revelation which come hereafter. Terrible things, mighty things, strange things to our ears and eyes. But at the outset, I particularly want you to hear what Jesus has to say about himself as he is essentially reintroducing himself to John in this revelation and to all of us who are benefiting from what John has written here. I take you particularly to verse 5 and verse 6. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn from the dead. You might think, back in the Old Testament, there were some, and also in the Gospels, some who were raised out of death. How is it that Jesus is referred to as the firstborn of the dead? We have Jesus as the one who is leading the way. We have Adam, who was the first one in whom all die. But now in Christ, all who trust in Him will be made alive. Yes, there was Enoch, who was translated in the book of Genesis. Yes, there was Elijah in the Old Testament, 1 Kings and 2 Kings, who was taken by a whirlwind to heaven. They did not need the help of a funeral director or a funeral home. There was no typical funeral or memorial service held for them. There is no grave to mark their spot. Then, in the gospel accounts, we have the daughter of Jairus, Jairus's little daughter. We have the son of the widow of Nain, who Jesus comes along, and both situations, these are raised out of death. And we would think, what about them? They preceded Jesus. But it is because of Jesus' power over death that any of these things took place when they did. Jesus, He is the one who went ahead of any of them. Though in our calendar, in our time, the resurrection of Jesus was such a certainty in time past that Jesus Christ is referred to as the firstborn from the dead, and He is referred to as the faithful witness. Jesus would say to His disciples, "And you shall be My witnesses throughout all the earth, in Jerusalem, Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth, the very ends of the earth." Now, Jesus, He is referred to as that faithful one. He, during His lifetime, had set His eyes upon God, and He had fulfilled obediently all that God wanted of Him and had entrusted Him to do. Some of His witnesses, even great men like Peter, we read about them stumbling along even after Jesus was raised from the dead. At one time, He withdrew from some of the brethren in Antioch, and Paul had to accost Him. He had to speak very sternly to both Peter and even to Barnabas about their hypocrisy. But Jesus, He is the faithful one, right from the beginning to the very end. And it is not to Peter, to Barnabas, to Paul, to any other, but it is to Jesus Christ that we set our eyes. He is the faithful witness of all that has taken place. He is the firstborn from the dead, and He is the one who has so loved us with a deep and rich love that He is the one who has released us from our sins by the cleansing power of His blood. I remember as a boy, there were baptismal services, and the very baptismal service in which I was immersed, we would sing the song, "There is power, there is power, there is wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb." That was a favorite, and it was a standard, I think, for every time there was a baptismal service, because we were rejoicing in the cleansing of the blood of the Lamb. And here, Jesus Himself, there is an introduction to Him as the one who has cleansed us, who has released us. He has come with the key that no one else had. And He has unlocked those shackles that were so strong and so powerful and that had held us all our life long. He is the one who has released us from the shackles and from the bondage of our sin, and that His blood has paid the price for that key to be in His hand. And furthermore, He has not simply released us and then said, "Now, go on your way. I don't want to have anything to do with you." But He has bought us. He has brought us also to Himself. And in verse 6, it says, "He has made us to be a kingdom." A kingdom, a glorious kingdom, a splendid, marvelous kingdom. A kingdom of what? A kingdom of priests to His God and Father. You remember that in the Old Testament, it was the tribe of Levi who was given the privilege of serving as the priesthood. The priests were all taken from the tribe of Levi. It was not for those from Ephraim or from Reuben or from any other tribe to just self-appoint themselves as priests. That was specifically given to the tribe of Levi. It was a holy privilege. But now this has been given to us. We have been given that very privilege of being priests to our God, and to Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Who is it who sits upon the throne? It is God the Father and Jesus Christ. He is there interceding on our behalf at the very throne of God. And the blood is there to speak powerfully on our behalf, that these are ones who have been cleansed by the power of Jesus Christ, and that we live because of Him. But we have here pictured, and it is repeated twice, there is the past, there is the present, and there is the future. The resurrection of Jesus Christ impacts past, present, and future. It speaks to those of Old Testament times and those who have gone before us, that they have had a confident, a sure hope as they have fixed their eyes upon Jesus, that He is one who will stand the test, and that He is the one who will see them through. But for us today, He is the one who causes us joy. He is the one who fills us with a confident hope that we might trust in Him and that our lives have purpose. Bill Gaither wrote the song, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone." And that is the power of the resurrection and how it speaks to us here and now. And that we can live our lives in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of others having absolutely no hope and being filled with despair, we can move forward with great confidence. And it's not a confidence where we will be proven to be fools for such hope, but that it is a sure, it is a certain hope that we have. So Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Christ, it speaks to the past, it speaks to the present, but it also speaks to the future. And here in verse 7 it says, "Behold, He is coming." It's not that He might come if He gets around to it, if He's still interested, if He hasn't moved on to other things, if He hasn't become distracted somehow. He is coming, it says, with the clouds, and every eye will see Him. Even those who pierced Him, those who took the nails and hammer in hand and drove them into His hands and into His feet, those who mocked Him, they will all realize the hideous error of their way. And all those also who since that time, who though they did not have nails and hammer, though they did not have a crown of thorns, yet for them also, they turn away and in so doing mock the Son of God
and ridicule and treat the Son of God as though he were some kind of clown, some kind of utter fool. All those will see him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. And verse 8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the final letter of the Greek alphabet. And so to this Greek culture, this Hellenistic culture of the first century, what Jesus is really saying is that I am the first and I am the last. I start the whole process and I am the one who is there at the very end as well. You can't go beyond me in wisdom, in anything. I am the fulfillment. I am there from one end to the other. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I would declare on this glad Easter day, the Almighty, the one who is infinitely powerful, and I would call upon you to bow before him, and I would call upon you to do the right thing. Here is the one who has come that we might have life. He is the one who has come and spoken love to this world. He is the one who comes and speaks joy and hope when there is only despair. What he asks of us is that we surrender to him. A short while ago, I was asked a question on the Bible Has the Answer of Faith to Live By. Where does the Bible say that he is to be our personal Savior? Where is that found in the Bible? And I had to answer that those words are not found in the Bible. That is something that people have in trying to explain how that we are to personally and individually respond to Christ's appeal, but we do not find those exact words in the Bible. You see, whether we surrender to him or not, he is still the Almighty. He is still Lord. We do not make him Lord. He is Lord. The question is, will we live as honoring him, or will we live as rebels? Will we fight? Will we kick? Will we be like the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, who was said, it's hard to kick against the pricks. Why are you doing that? Why don't you surrender? And I would bid you, Jesus Christ, how much more power do you need to see? He worked miracles. He came to be born in Bethlehem. He took upon himself flesh and blood. He has now been raised from the dead. Why would you not surrender your life to him? Come and bow before him today and truly live. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Lord Jesus, we ask that your power would be so mighty to each and every heart here. Work your will and receive praise, honor, and glory. And may hearts and lives be turned to you, and may they truly live. In Jesus' name we pray.